Sorry about that, everyone. I suddenly got bounced out of the system again.
No problem. I figured that was the case. Is it okay now?
Yes, I'm back. Okay, good. Okay. I'm sorry. I missed all of that. I so apologize. But we'll pick it.
No, that's okay. Just simply, my message is a clear one. Video games and technologies are not inherently evil. It's like a lot of things. If you have a glass of wine with dinner, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you drink two bottles of wine a day, you've probably got a problem. It's all about balance in your life. And a lot of us just don't know what that balance looks like. And so we need to just take a more critical look at ourselves and the people around us and try to help them make better choices. And that's a tough thing to do because it seems so obvious that we should be able to have control over this, but we should have control over our drinking and our gambling and our sex and everything else too. And yet we have problems there as well. And the dopamine and all the addictive tendencies and issues inherent in these other substance abuses and behavioral addictions, they're right there too with video games and these technologies. So we have to treat it as seriously because it can claim as much devastation in someone's life as these other things, as anorexia, gambling, as well as people often call it like a drug addiction.
Right. And, you know, it's kind of funny, but people don't realize that humans inherently have a form of OCD. It's just everybody's trigger is different. For some people, it's food. For others, it's gambling. For some, it's video gaming or being addicted to being on the cell phone or on the web or sex or some drug. Everybody's is different. And I think a lot of the problem is you're getting, when the media gets involved especially, they always want to categorize everything and they want to group everybody together. You can't, because they have to be treated individually. You never know what's going to set somebody off to become a kleptomaniac. For instance, I'm pretty sure Winona Ryder had no clue that she was a klepto until she got caught at it.
Right.
A lot of people don't realize, or they don't realize that they have those habits, and they just fall right into them. And if they have a support system that goes right along with them, for instance, a lot of gamers in the gaming community, it's not that hard to find somebody to game with, especially now. So you don't realize that you've slipped into this world that, you know, you've got this addiction going because there's so many other, and that's one of the sad parts about the web. It offers this, you know, this huge array. You can always find somebody that's supportive of what you do. And it keeps you from identifying and it keeps you from getting the proper help.
Right. Yeah, that's part of the addictive quality of video games now. That's more intense than ever before, because in the 10 years ago, 15 years ago, the only person that you ever gamed with was your older brother sitting next to you on the couch or your friend from down the street. Today, it's just as easy to be playing with some kid from Egypt or some woman from South Korea as easy as anyone else. And so what you do is, and a lot of people do, is they develop all of their friendships and relationships virtually. So that if you ever get to the point where you're spending all your time virtual existence to the point that it's hurting your real existence, whether it's school, job, health, or any combination of things, and you have to cut back, you don't want to. You are disinclined to do so because that means spending less time with all your friends because they're all through that virtual environment. And if you, God forbid, you have to cut it off, it's like murdering all your friends at once, which is why you get so many of these kids who freak out when their parents rip the Xbox out of the wall or they cut the power cord on the router for the computer, and you get these kids who, you know, kill themselves or jump off balconies or they freak out. It's easy to say, oh, they're just nuts anyways. But the reality is, it's that parents and people trying to help them, they saw a problem. They figured take it away won't be a problem anymore. But they didn't realize all the other issues that are bound up in that, and this sense of community and belonging is a huge one. And they destroyed, in some cases, the only community that that person belonged to. And it's probably the most disempowering and lonely feeling ever, and that's why you get these kids acting out sometimes when that happens.
Absolutely. I mean, it's even to the point now where they have the groups that started their own businesses based upon gamers. If the gamers die in real life, and that leaves this big, you know, that left their communities like, well, what happened? So-and-so hasn't been here, da-da-da, and then, you know, they go into shock. Because that's exactly what happened. So now there's actually companies, I know of three of them here in the United States, that's what they do. The people, if they know that the person that was an avid gamer, they can contact these companies and say, I know so-and-so did this on, you know, World of Warcraft or whatever. And then they send out greetings or condolence bereavement, they take care of sending that out to the group. And a lot of the people who were in the real time who didn't realize how you know, like you said, how much of a community they built, suddenly they start getting stuff from all over the world because this person has died, and they're like, wait a minute, they were this connected? Yes, it is that serious. This is their world. These are their people. They have no clue. They just think they're gaming. They just think it's, you know, a pastime or a hobby or whatever you want.
That's a good indicator of how serious it is. That's exactly right.
Yeah, it is. It's interesting and it's scary at the same time, you know, because I think everybody does want to belong to someone, or they want to have a place in the world, and they've gone out and made their own, and even if it's virtual. But if that's not your world and you don't understand it, it's very hard that you work together, I think, right now. And it would be nice to sit and see what some of the other countries who are facing this or who have already gone forward and had to face this, how they're working through it. Especially Japan. They're very plugged into, you know, latest tech. Go to Japan. You're going to find it.
Well, China and South Korea are the two that are having the most problems now. Both of them call video game addiction their number one most pressing public health issue. And both of them have taken some pretty huge steps in terms of trying to curb that. China has over 300 of these digital detox camps. It's a lot like a wilderness program where you just get someone completely away from it and you have a support group there and you try to retrain them in the real world away from electronics so that they can eventually reintegrate back with the real world, which has, of course, electronics built into it. That's the real danger. You have to kind of relearn how to negotiate that challenge of having it always there in front of you.
Wow.
South Korea, it even got a bigger issue because something like 30% of their people are having issues with gaming. You know, I don't know if we can call it addicted or not, but certainly issues, self-identified issues. And you can see why. The people there, they have professional video gamers who are like rock stars. They have multiple channels on TV that are 24-hour video game matches or
right.
Repeat older ones.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's part of their culture, the way that we might deify the NFL or NBA athletes. You want to be like them, so you have those issues. And also, too, they're trying to stop the young people from going on these benders because every now and then you get someone who plays 30 or 40 hours straight and then drops dead of a heart attack or exhaustion or something like this. So they're now having overnight bans on online gaming. So from like midnight to 6 in the morning or something like that, they shut down all the different gaming opportunities via the internet so these kids don't sit in these 24-hour cafes and just game until they drop dead.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Yeah, I have friends that are in the community, but wow, I did not realize Korea was getting hit that badly. Wow.
And, of course, it's easy for us to say, oh, that's just those crazy South Asians, right? You know, it's not here in America. We have you know, as many gamers and problems as they do. We're not dealing with the issue that a lot of us see in front of us. And that's not to say that most people can't play games and quit when they want to quit. Just like some people can have a beer when they're out socially and then never drink again unless they choose to. I mean, so a lot of people have that control or they don't have
right.
those buttons that it pushes. But there is a significant percentage that doesn't have that amount of discipline or control, and they don't tend to realize they've got a problem until they're way past reasonable and often into crisis. And that's really what this is about. And, of course, the problem here in America, too, is that we are so offended by the idea of government trying to help us that if we instigated any of those plans, had government treatment centers or the digital detox or counselors or something, we would be so offended about our civil rights and our liberties and things that we would really resist it in a lot of ways that these other countries are not so much.
Right, but then again, this is also the same country who expects the government to rescue them every 5 minutes. So, you know, we want it both ways. But that's so true, you're right. This country spends a lot of time in denial of a lot of things until it gets to crisis mode, and then they need that quick, instant solution. But now that you describe what's going on in South Korea and, of course, the camps in China, full reacclimation, that's right up there with somebody who was an alcoholic having to learn to work around being an alcoholic all the time, because technology is always available. At least with alcohol, you don't have to have it in the house. You know, on your friends, once they know you're recovering, if they're good friends, they're going to go out of their way to not say, okay, let's meet at a bar. Or let's, you know, go out for drinks. They're not going to do that to you. You can't go to a company and not have a computer sitting in front of you. And especially with the way most modern companies are, they just fill space now anyway. They expect you to be gaming at some point or checking your email or whatever. They write it into their budget for you to be doing it. So that's, wow, that's got to be very hard.
Yeah, the comparison that I like to make, a lot of people resist the substance abuse comparison where they say playing video games is a lot like digital crack. So they say, well, you know, you don't put something into your body with the game, so it's not a good comparison. I think a better comparison is like gambling. A lot of games have the deferred reward. Like, for instance, you mentioned World of Warcraft. Any monster you kill might drop an amazingly powerful weapon. Now, it's like a 0.001% chance, which is a lot like pulling the one-armed bandits in Vegas. You got like a 0.001% chance of winning a lot of money, too. But you keep trying because you feel you put your time into it, you'll earn out. And, of course, that creates, you know, plays into your OCD and all these other things, too. And then the other way I'd probably try to describe video game addiction in terms of acclimation, like you said, is with eating disorders. Because with eating disorders, you can't avoid food. You've got to renegotiate a new healthy relationship with it because it's always there. Like you said, with alcohol, you can kind of avoid it in certain aspects, but with the food, it is always there. So that's an excellent comparison, too, to the video games because they're on your cell phone, they're in your wristwatches. We bought a car the other day, and it had it built in into the back with a DVD player. I didn't ask for it. I didn't want it, but there it is. Of course, it's on your computers at work, at home. Everybody's probably got game systems sitting around, whether it's an old Atari or PlayStation or one of the new Kinects or the fancier ones. They're everywhere, and they're hard to avoid because so many people don't have a problem with it, and so they'll play right in front of you. And, of course, that's a real issue, too. So you've got to figure out, how can I survive with this being omnipresent in my life? And that's a real challenge, and that's a struggle a lot of people don't know quite how to navigate.
Absolutely. Yeah, I like the eating disorder one, definitely. That's so true. You're right. And that's the sad part about, again, our culture here especially is bad about this. They want to compartmentalize everything, and they don't realize all addictions are mental. And it doesn't matter whether you're putting it in your body, if it's an outside substance, or whether, you know, you're gambling. It starts in your brain, and that's what gets tripped. It's in your brain first. That's the desire, and it drives that need. And things that feed into it, again, I can turn on the TV, and I can, you know, we get the G4 thing out here all the time talking about the new games. And, you know, the matter of fact, SakuraCon was just this past weekend in Washington State. I've got inundated ads for that. Comic-Con, the whole nine. We do get bombarded with that kind of media, and if that's your trigger, it's right there. Constantly.
And of course, every major Hollywood blockbuster movie now comes built in with one or more spin-off games, in addition to all the garbage they give you with the Happy Meals at McDonald's. So it's there in the commercials, there on the posters, it's there all over the place. And, you know, in terms of your entertainment value, more bang for your buck, you can go see a fancy Hollywood movie for $10, or you can spend $20 and get 200 play hours out of a video game. So in terms of just that level, you get a lot more out of video games in terms of entertaining yourself, which is usually the goal. But, of course, the problem is we have a lot of games now where there's no end point. Like you mentioned World of Warcraft. There's a lot of others, too, where there's no stopping point. You don't save the princess and win the game, and then you enter initials and you're done, like some of the older games.
Right.
In this case, a lot of these games just go on and on and on forever. And, of course, that OCD we all have built in on some level kicks in, and you just don't find a way to ever exit it, so you keep on playing. And, of course, then we have all the issues with community and the other things we talked about, and it becomes a whole number of forces that all work together that keep you going. And, of course, that's really the pull. It's not one easy thing. There's no one easy silver bullet, even though we would like to have one. It's too complicated of an addiction.
Right, and then you brought up something else earlier about they get to build their own characters within the games as part of the control. The problem is those same characters become, they are those characters in real life. And then, you know, they don't even realize they've done this, but they've poured so much of that psyche of the, you know, the alternate self, that they actually become that alternate person. And then you run into a totally different type of personality, especially when you start dealing with gamers who are into the Halo, or they're into, what's the, Grand Theft Auto. We're talking
right.
the full-on violent, yeah, if we don't turn you into a merchant marine soon, you're going to turn into a serial killer in the real time unless we leave you in that room with that game. And they and their personalities fall right into that, which is another problem that, of course, would have to be addressed. How much of their psyche gets changed when they
That's
take on those personas? Yeah.
You're bringing up some excellent points here. There's a book that was just shortlisted for the Pulitzer Prize by Nicholas Carr called The Shallows, and the subtitle is What the Internet is Doing to Our Brains. And it points out a lot of the most recent studies and ideas about how this technology affects us, and it's pretty clear that our brains are plastic, meaning they change at all points in our life. We used to think that once you got to a certain age, your brain didn't change that much, and that's totally untrue. Your
mm-hmm.
brain changes really, really fast. And so the more that we do with these technologies, the more it affects not just kind of how we think about it, but how we think at all. And we don't understand what that is yet. We're still trying to figure it out. But it's clear that there are profound changes in the way that we interact with the world as a result of what we kind of put into our bodies through these technologies. And that's a pretty scary thing that I just think we're not going to really have a good handle on again for a very long time. So I think, again, it's another cautionary thing. Be a little more careful. This is about balance. Now, if you have just a little bit of this and a lot of other things, that sounds great. But it's when you get things out of balance in your life, whatever it is, that's where you start to run into problems. And so that's again, it's my message. Try to take it all with a grain of salt. Have a common sense attitude about it. And don't let any one aspect of your life begin to dominate over all the others, or real problems tend to follow.
Absolutely. And you know, have one of those crazy friends that doesn't game. Keep an eye on you. It may sound silly, but, yeah, they'll pull you in because they're going to be looking at you like, okay, you've been doing that for 20 hours. You need a break. Yeah. We're going to go get pizza. I don't care how bad for you it is. We're going to go get a pizza. And if you even look at the games in the corner, matter of fact, you're sitting in the car. Never mind. We're going out. You have to sit in the car because you can't go get pizza. But it's true. You're right. People don't, you know, it should not dominate. It is about balance. It's about learning a healthy balance. You need to be able to socialize in real time the same way you do offline. And even if that means socializing with your gaming friends, the local ones, you know, go out, have fun. Talk about gaming. You don't even have to be gaming. Just go out. You might meet some other people that don't know about gaming, and you can have fun explaining gaming to them.
And you can have fun listening to what they do and are interested in that has nothing to do with gaming.
Absolutely. And you may find that you might actually have an interest in it, but you have to, you know, you have to go out. You've got to get up and go out and experience the world, no matter how bad it is at times. There's some good stuff out there.
Yes, there is. There's quite a bit of it.
Yeah. You just have to know how to look for it.
Exactly right. Yeah, it's easy to be lazy and go for what's convenient, which is tends to be video games. I mean, I like bowling, but heck, I can just put in a cartridge into my Xbox, and I can bowl a lot quicker and cheaper right now. Well, it's rewarding in a different way, though. Sometimes it's better to go to the bowling alley, suck in the ambiance, and, you know, meet some people there. You're exactly right. It's worth the extra effort.
And it's funny because people don't realize that a lot of, like you said, I love bowling too. I grew up bowling on the weekends. You hated it when you were a kid if you were in a league because you didn't get to see cartoons, but oh well. But now when you're an adult, it's fun to go out bowling if you can actually find a bowling alley. Because the smells, the sensations, the noise, the, you know, the people, the banter, all that chitter-chatter in the background, it's a lot of fun. Even if you don't even like bowling, you can actually have fun at a bowling alley.
Well, considering the weight issue we're having in this country, the unhealthiness, just the idea of even that minimal exercise is probably worth it alone, not even considering all the other benefits you talked about, too, just to get out and actually use your body in a meaningful way versus exercising your thumbs.
That's true. And the sad part about this country is that we got away from being a worker society. We're no longer industrial. We're all about the thought process, which basically doesn't involve physical activity. That involves sitting down on your tushy and having it expand exponentially. And then it's really funny watching people who, quote unquote, we have to get in shape so we go walking at lunch. Well, that's charming, but what do you do the rest of the time when you're not at work? I mean, do you walk at home? Probably not. Do you walk if we can get you to take a vacation? Probably not. We can't even get people to take a vacation. We're so plugged in. I love when, you know, you send people out of your company. You're supposed to be on vacation. They've got the laptop. They got the cell phone. They're still checking the company email. Vacation means go away. It means have fun. You know, do stuff with your kids. See a museum. Don't call into the office. Now, if there's a real major problem and the office calls you, that's one thing, but go out, disconnect, and reconnect with something else.
That's excellent advice. Of course, some people are probably running scared with the economy and thinking, well, if they can do well without me, maybe they will do without me. So I guess there's probably some of that that's built into it now, but you are exactly right. If you are going to get away, actually get away, or why leave it all? So, yeah, really take a true vacation. Leave your cell phone behind. Turn it off when you're out during the day or whatever you need to do. That's exactly right.
Yes. I mean, if we know, I mean, if you really that, you know, how did they think they did it back in the day? If the company needed to get a hold of you, we knew where your hotel was. You called the hotel, left a message for them. Then when you come in, they either leave it on your phone, slip it under your door, come up and knock on your door. This is that thing called room service. Yes, enjoy it. That's what it's there for. You know, the hotel will find you. You're staying there. You have to pay the money. Trust me, they will find you at that hotel. Or they will know what trip that you took that day. They will find you if it's a real emergency. I don't need you to have a cell phone. You don't have to call. You know, please, please take a vacation, which, you know, the United States is known for the fact that we are like the most working, overworked society ever. We don't take vacations. Even when we're on vacation, we're not on vacation.
You're selling me on the idea of leaving for a week here.
No, sir, you should. And the bottom line is what people don't realize. I hate to tell you this. Even if you see it coming and you're not going to be, it's not going to do you any good. So whether you're in the office and they you know, downsize you or terminate you, or whether you're out of the office and they do it, because I've had that done, it's not going to matter to you one way or the other. And the good part is, as long as they are smart and they tell you before you leave on your vacation that they're going to terminate your, at least you can have a lot more fun on your vacation. You've already got it planned. It's already paid for. I ended up in England because of that. They completely obliterated my entire section while I was on vacation. And it was so funny because my friend's like, well, as long as you don't have anything to go back to, come hang out in England. I went and hung out in England. Met some great people, got some wonderful networking done, ended up with a brand new job. You never know. But don't be bound to stay in your same situation. Do not let it overtake your life. Get out there. You'd be surprised. Some really cool stuff happens.
Well, I couldn't say it better myself. That's it. Be open to it. Don't be locked into your patterns, especially if it's just one thing. That's right.
Nope. So let's get some contact information out there for you.
Well, sure. If anyone's actually interested in learning more about my book, they can just go to unpluggedthebook.com. There's lots of information there about all these things we've been talking about, from the Facebook depression that's been on CNN recently, to social networking issues, to parenting tips, to the warning signs. There's lots of videos from like CNBC, things like that. It's all free. I update it regularly, unpluggedthebook.com. And the best part about it is the last page on there, the last tab, has a contact button. You can send me a note, and I respond to everybody. So if you have any specific questions about your own life, your own behaviors, or someone that you care about, you can ask questions. And if I can't answer it, I will direct you towards a better source, a book, or a person who can. So that's a great way to get a hold of me. And like I said, too, I speak to lots of groups, businesses, schools, companies. I talk to a lot of medical people at medical conferences, about one a month. So if you think your group, organization, or school, or family could benefit from sitting down with me, either through Skype or in person, give me a holler. I'm happy to work it out.
There you go. For those of you who have kids that you're worried that they're gaming too much, this is the man right here. Reach out. reach out and contact, make contact. Absolutely. Ryan Van Cleve, thank you so much. And see, we had fun even with all our technological problems today. We had fun.
I think we did well.
Yes, we did. I appreciate you bearing with us through the technical issues and coming onto the show. Certainly invite you back. You are welcome back anytime.
Well, that's great. Thank you so much for having me today. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you. Have a good day. And, take that week off. You make sure you take that week off. Yeah.
I'll put it on the calendar for May.
Okay. Have a good time.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.